All right, let's go ahead and keep going. Who's here? Hey, guys. Yeah, see, if Richie was here the first part, I probably wouldn't have missed this. Y'all blame it on Richie and say, hey, where were you? Yeah, just there he is. We can all blame it on him now. Had the first half of the Bible study, brother, and it didn't get recorded. I didn't have my thing turned on. Rusty's not here, and you weren't here, and, you know, I'm useless, so. But we are recording now, so. We'll get the second half. We'll just have to get the first half another time, I guess. All right. Let's pick it up. Talking about the three Gospels. Now we're looking at the Gospel of the Grace of Christ, the Gospel for today. Look with me in Acts chapter 8. We'll start there. Like I said, there's a revelation that begins to be revealed in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 8, we see the first man that is saved simply by believing. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, saying, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation and his judgment he was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? What's that scripture? That's Isaiah 53. What's it about? It's about a sacrifice for sins. Okay? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came in a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. All right, there's a man saved by grace through faith, and he's baptized after he believes. So what is that? You're getting in the right way now. See, things are starting to get figured out and worked out the right way. Of course, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved. Look over in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and verse 7. We verse 6 for the context. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lieth round about. There they preached the gospel. All right, they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom? No. No way. No. They're preaching the gospel of the grace of Christ. The gospel that's revealed to who? Paul, to be revealed to the church. All right, so that's what you got going on here. You got the real gospel now being preached in the book of Acts. Look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. It's all spiritual now, see? Kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom. Not the physical kingdom to the nation of Israel. It's the Son of God, it's the kingdom of God, it's the gospel of the grace of Christ that's being preached from this time forward. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And what we find is the gospel is being preached today. There's no works involved at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and look in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Really? Well, what were they teaching back there in Matthew 28 and Mark 16? Yeah, go ye in all the world and teach all nations, commanding them, he that is baptized, believes and is baptized shall be saved. You know where the Church of Christ gets messed up? Right there. You know why people get messed up and try to make baptism part of salvation? Because they're running back there. They're not rightly dividing the Scriptures. You need to go here. Here's who it's revealed to. The gospel of the grace of Christ is revealed to Paul. What does Paul say? Verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Therefore, is baptism the gospel?" Can't be. See? It's impossible. "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." What's he preaching? The cross. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, it's the cross for salvation. That, they weren't preaching that in Acts 2, Acts 3, 4, 5, 6. That wasn't the message. It is here. The message is you have a sacrifice for sins, Jesus Christ the righteous. He shed his blood, he died for you, he was buried, he rose again the third day. That's the gospel to the church. That's the gospel for us today. Look at Ephesians 2. Probably know these verses by heart by now, I would think. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. You get that for me, brother? Thank you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Now, how are you saved? Any works involved? No baptism? No nothing. Just believe. Right? Believe what? That Christ is your sin sacrifice, that he was buried and rose again. Believe the gospel. See? You believe the gospel, and then you are saved by simply believing the gospel. That's the only way you can be saved. There is no other way to be saved other than believing the gospel. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And verse 16. Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." What is the power of God unto salvation? It's the gospel of Christ. See? How do you get it? You believe. It's all right in that verse. You can't miss it. That's the gospel that we preach today. Look at Acts 16. Acts 16, and then get Acts 2. We'll see the difference here. Look with me in Acts chapter 16, verse 30. "Brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Okay, good question. You may have somebody someday ask you that question. What are you going to tell them? I hope you can tell them exactly what Paul told them here. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Right? Okay. Now hold your place there. Look back in Acts chapter 2. Verse 37. After Peter gets done preaching at the day of Pentecost, to the Jews, to the nation of Israel. Look at verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt know." See? Haven't been revealed yet. What's he preaching? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Oh, really? Is that how you got saved? That's what he's telling them to do. Well, are you going to spiritualize that and make believe he didn't say what he said? You going to try and change the Bible to fit your belief, or are you going to change your belief to fit the Bible? You better rightly divide the scriptures, or you'll get the biggest mess you ever saw. That's how the Church of Christ and these guys get messed up. They see those verses, and those verses are in the Bible, and they don't know how to rightly divide the scriptures. You get the mess. "For remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now you see that? A little different. What are we supposed to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's the simplicity of the gospel. Believe, you're saved. We looked at that in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And look with me in verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That gospel is revealed to the Apostle Paul to be revealed to the church. That's why it is also called Paul's gospel. See? It's called the gospel of the grace of Christ, but it's also called Paul's gospel. Look in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1. Then 14 years after, 14 years after what? After the Jews go after him to persecute him. After he's been 3 years in Arabia. So now you're looking at more than 17 years since Paul's been saved, right? I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Why? Because that's what some of them were teaching. You had to be circumcised to be saved. That's why Paul is writing what he's writing in Galatians. They were saying you had to be circumcised, you had to keep the law, or you'd lose your salvation. They were perverting the gospel. Thus, Paul is writing to the Galatians this book because of that exact incident taking place. See? And so, Paul reveals that thing to them as far as what God had revealed to him to show unto them. Look in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2 and verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Who said that? The Apostle Paul. What does he say the gospel? He says mine. It was revealed to me to be revealed to you. The gospel of the grace of Christ, called Paul's gospel. Look in Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. In verse 25, Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Well, you know, people in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the cross. Where'd you get that from? Who told you that? Scripture? Scripture? What scripture you got for that? I'd like to see it. Because that's not what I read in my Bible. What I read right here is that mystery of the gospel was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, was it there in the scriptures in the Old Testament? Can you see Christ in the Old Testament when you read it? Sure. Could they? No. It was hidden. It was a mystery. See? When you think those Jews, when they were reading about Abraham sacrificing Isaac, see, you think that they were saying, oh, that's when God's going to give us his son. No. You think when they saw that Passover lamb, they said, oh, well, Jesus is going to come one day and he's going to be our Passover lamb. No. They didn't see any of that. You understand? We can now. Why? Because we have God's Holy Spirit. They didn't have that back then. They couldn't see that. That's nonsense. They were looking forward to the cross. It's impossible. Because the Bible says that what was revealed to us was afterward revealed. It was hidden from them. Look back in Galatians, I'll show you that. Over there in Galatians, after 1 and 2 Corinthians. See if I can find that real quick. I don't think this is in our notes here, but I'll give you this if I can find it. Chapter 3, Galatians 3. Look at verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, all right, so there was a time when you couldn't be saved just by faith, right? Is that what it just said? Before faith came, okay. We were kept under the, help me out, law. Shut up unto the faith. Amen. Well, you ever tell your husband or wife that, you're quoting Scripture. Shut up. You know, it's like the people that have the Scripture signs in their yard, beware of dogs. Yeah, that's Bible. See, that you can tell them. That's my Scripture sign. They'll look at you like, what? But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. You know what that means? It means what it says. The faith of the gospel would be revealed afterward, later on, not back then. So you can't miss that if you can't miss anything, unless you've been taught something that you got to unteach yourself. But that's where you decide what's going to be your final authority, God's words or your theology. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. You understand, once you have this stuff down, you'll never doubt your salvation. Listen, you see? You'll be able to rightly divide the Scriptures. And when somebody comes across with some verse talking about, see, this verse says that you can lose your salvation, you'll know how to handle that thing right away. And you'll be able to explain it to them. They may not understand it, but you'll be able to give them the Scriptures and explain it to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you all got that? Look at verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Who said that? The Apostle Paul. See? But we're begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ. How do we know that? Because of the Apostle Paul. See? All that stuff was revealed to him. After that, it's revealed to the other disciples when he goes and has that meeting with them there that we read about in Galatians 2. Let's see. What's next? Philippians chapter 4. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 15, Philippians 4:15. Now you see how you just read through the Bible sometimes and you don't read it, and you miss it, and you go over a verse and you don't even realize what you just read. Look here in Philippians 4:15. I bet you've read this verse before. Look at that. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I... Wait a minute. You mean the gospel had a beginning? Well, whenever the beginning of the gospel was, Paul's there. You see that? When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated me. When Paul had just started out in his ministry, you know what he calls it? The beginning of the gospel. Say, why? Because it was revealed first to Paul to be revealed to everybody else. You got to get that. You get that, you'll get it all. You'll understand. The whole Bible will open up to you if you'll let God do it for you. All right, look, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. All right, look at verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. There it is. Who was the gospel committed to? It was committed to the Apostle Paul. It was committed to his trust. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. There it is again. Now look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, that's all pretty plain in the Scriptures, isn't it? No problem from the Scriptures understanding how to get saved. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you get saved. It's simple, isn't it? Didn't he call it the simplicity of the gospel? Right? It's as easy as sitting in a chair. When you sit in a chair, what are you doing? You're trusting the chair. You're putting your complete trust in it. That's salvation. It's realizing he's the one that can save me, and you put your complete trust in him. That's salvation. It's simple. Preachers are good at complicating it. But it really is that simple. And we need to keep it simple. But even though it's as simple as it is, everybody trips over it. Everybody has trouble with it. Everybody has trouble understanding it. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What's the problem? The devil's real. There's proof the devil's real right there. If the gospel's so easy, what's a better way of getting saved than the way that we have? Now think about it. What is better than just, oh man, all you got to do is believe. Oh, I don't want that. Give me something hard. Give me some commandments to do, and let me get baptized and join a church and do right. What natural man would want that? Do you understand? It's contrary to man's own nature, and yet he cannot see it. See, what is that? That's proof that the devil is real. It's proof that, listen, the warfare that we're in is real. And what we are called to do is to be a light unto this world. And we're to shed forth, just like a bright old spotlight, the glorious gospel of Christ to a world that is blinded and kept in darkness by the devil. So always remember that. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This thing that we have, this gospel of the grace of Christ, this good news that we have to present to the world, is there's an adversary to it. And our adversary is the devil, and he's real. And there's the proof in the pudding right there. There's no other way to explain that. See? I mean, you're talking about offering somebody for free eternal life, right? Well, who would have a problem taking that? Well, I'll give it a shot, but, you know, right? Honest to God. Now listen, if you had some secret potion and you said you drink this and you'll always be healthy and you'll live forever and you can have it for free and you want somebody to drink it and they don't fall over dead and they weren't tricked, you know, all right, I'll try it. I mean, you'd at least try it to see, wouldn't you? Then why don't they? Devil's real. And you can't explain that any other way. No other way. See? He's keeping them in darkness. He's keeping them blinded. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We need to give that same light to a lost and dying world. Look in Romans 10. Romans 10. Beginning in verse 9. You want to show somebody how to get saved? This is a great place to go in the Bible, right here. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You get somebody that claims to be a Christian but never wants to testify and has never gone public with it, you can question their salvation all you want. Because the Bible says if you really believed, you wouldn't be ashamed. The Holy Spirit would give you power to say that. You wouldn't be ashamed saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. Amen. You'd be willing to tell others about it. That's what gives you assurance. That's why we give people an opportunity after they get saved to make a public testimony. That's why before I baptize, I have them make a public testimony. You understand? You need to do that. It's important. That'll help you with your own assurance of your salvation. Because you'll be able to look back and say, I even made it public. I even told everybody else that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So if the Lord doesn't know about it, at least everybody else does. That's a joke. But that's why I've talked to people about that. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. I said, are you sure? I mean, can you give me a day you got saved? And, well, you know, I was in a car one time, and I should have crashed, and I didn't. You understand that a lot of times when you ask that word and ask somebody if they're saved, they're going to say, yeah, but they don't think what you think. You have to understand that. That's why you want to press them a little further. Say, well, how did you get saved? When did you get saved? See? Kind of put them on the spot a little bit without embarrassing them. But at the same time, you need to reach out and make sure that they truly have trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I asked them. Is Jesus Christ in you? Has he saved you? And then I ask him, does Jesus Christ know about it? Listen, that right there will give them light. If you're saved, does Jesus Christ know about it? I'm going to have him put that up on the sign one of these days. I mean, that's, amen. Wouldn't that be something if you thought you were saved and Jesus Christ didn't know about it? See, if you're saved, Jesus Christ ought to know about it, right? It shouldn't be a shock to him. Yeah, okay. We'll move on. Where am I at here? Verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. How do you get saved? Call upon him. There it is. See? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, there's a promise, be saved. If you ask Jesus Christ to save you, you know what the Bible says he'll do? He'll save you. Wow, that's tough. That's hard. That's complicated. No. Easier than sliced bread right there. That's it. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. That's what we all need to be doing is wearing our beautiful feet. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Whoop, wait a minute. Hold on. What was that? Let's read that again. Interesting. But they have not all... Now look at that word. Obeyed the gospel. How do you obey the gospel? Right? He said, you believe, you ask him to save you. Confess him as your Savior. Right? To get assurance. Pretty good, isn't it? Pretty simple, right? Okay. Now, everybody's with that? That's how you obey the gospel. All right, then how do you disobey the gospel? You hear the gospel preaching, you say, not for me, man. No, thank you. I want to live my own life. I don't have the right feeling yet. You know, whatever excuse they want to come up with, they'll come up with. But what they're doing is disobeying the gospel. You understand that? There's a reason I'm harping on this, and you need to understand this. This is the key, you with me? The key to the proof that Calvinism is a fairy tale. You with me? It's the key proof. Is you have, and not just here, we'll look at a few more verses in the Bible that say that the gospel is to be obeyed. Now, let me explain that to you. I'll try and do it in a way that you can understand what I'm talking about. Sit down. Ryan, would you please sit in this chair here? All right, now, which one of these boys just obeyed me? Well, they're both in the chairs. He didn't have a choice. That was irresistible grace. He was predetermined by me that I was going to take him, and he was getting in that chair whether he liked it or not, right? Okay, and I put him in. There was no obedience in that, because obedience means what? Could have he said and sat in that chair and say, no? Wouldn't have been good for his health. But he could have, right? He has a free will. What does obedience mean? It means you have a free will to either obey or disobey. What did God tell Cain? Hey, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, behold, sin lieth at the door. Sounds like a choice to me. Sounds to me like when I read my Bible, every man has a choice to either obey or disobey. Right? Isn't that what God's looking for, is obedience? How do we obey God today? Simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the first step to obedience. See? Yeah, right. All right, y'all can go on back there. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you. You have a choice. Get over there. All right, do you understand? So when we're talking about obeying the gospel, we're talking about something that you make the decision. That's why it's called obeying. Why use the word obey if you have no choice? How could you obey or disobey if you did not have a choice in the matter? Real simple. So I guess you'd have to, if you were a Calvinist, you'd have to cut all those verses out of your Bible that we're going to look at. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We preach the word of God, we try to get somebody to believe, and then they choose to obey or disobey the gospel. You'll see that through the book of Acts, when Paul's going out on his journeys, and some believe the things that were spoken, and some believe not. What? Some obeyed, some didn't obey. You know why you go to hell? For disobedience. That's why people go to hell, for disobedience. What are they disobeying? The gospel. That's why you go to hell. You go to hell for disobeying the gospel. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. You don't have a payment for your sins, so you have to pay for your sins for all eternity. You have to pay for your sins as long as God lives. Now, who would you do that to? Do you hate anybody enough that you'd want to see them burn forever? Have you ever thought about that? That's what's hard for a lot. That's why, you know, you get Billy Graham, he gets off into this, well, maybe it's not real fire, or maybe it's just separation. And then you get the Catholics and everybody talking about purgatory, and maybe it's just a temporal punishment. And, you know, because after all, I mean, God's a loving God, and a loving God, you understand? Because we're looking at it through our finite minds. We're looking at it through man's minds. We're looking at it through our own understanding, instead of leaning on God's understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto what? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How do you acknowledge Him? Thus saith the Lord, yes, Lord, that's what you said. Boom. That's how you acknowledge Him. Okay? And when you do that, He can direct your paths, because you're trusting in Him instead of trusting in, well, the way I see it is, okay, or what I think is, that's how you get messed up. That's how Christians get messed up. That's why I stress the importance of making sure that this is your final authority. All right? Because all the devil needs to do is get you off from this a little bit. And he's got you. See? How did he come to Eve? Remember? Yea, hath God said. That's where it starts. See? That's where it starts. Get them away from the Bible, you can get them. You can get them if you can get away from there. All right, so the gospel needs to be obeyed. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God, and if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? There's those that don't obey. Hey, if God's going to have to deal with us and reprove us and rebuke us and chasten us, how do you think it's going to end up for those people that don't obey the gospel? You know what's going to happen? They're going to burn forever. Why? Because they have sin, and they have... You know how long I'm going to live? As long as God lives. You know how somebody without Christ, you know how long they're going to have to pay for their sin? As long as God lives. Yeah, that's how the thing goes. Look there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. Talking about when the Lord comes back. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. What kind of destruction? You believe that? From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Why? Because they did not simply obey the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 and verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, you know the excuses that they give you? There's the real excuse. God's got their number. You know why somebody doesn't get saved? Number one, they don't believe because they haven't heard. Right? So what are we to do? Tell them. After they've been told, and God gives them light, and then you'll watch them saying, well, you know, I'm just not sure yet. Listen, if somebody came to you and offered you $10 million, how long would you have to pray about it or think about it? God comes offering eternal life. Well, let me see. Let me consider this. What's going on? You know what's going on? That's what's going on right there. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. There's something they think they're going to have to lose or give up on. And God's got their finger right on what that thing is. It may be different things for different people. But there's something you've got to repent of. See, there's something you've got to turn from. And the Lord deals with you on that thing. And so because of the pleasure for unrighteousness, that's why somebody goes to hell. They enjoy their sin too much to give it up. Because there's no way you can just come. You come to Jesus Christ wanting forgiveness of your sins. You don't come to Jesus Christ just in your sins. You understand the difference? You don't just come to Jesus Christ still thinking, well, I'm still okay in my sin. No. You're coming to Jesus Christ because you're sorry for your sins and you want Him to take your sins away. See? All right. Look in John chapter 3 and we'll be done. John chapter 3. And look in verse 18. Same thing again we were just talking about. John 3:18. He that believeth on Him and is baptized and... No, it's real simple. He that what? Believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed. It's something you do. It's obedience. It's obeying the gospel. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation. This is why they're going to burn forever. Right here. That light has come into the world. Jesus Christ. Okay? And men, the pleasures of unrighteousness. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Their deeds are evil. Well, I think he's a good person. Well, if he's a good person, he'll trust Christ. If he's not a good person, he won't. That's how God has this thing worked out. God checks somebody out by the cross. That's where he judges them. He holds up a sinless Savior, his Son, that he offered to the world as a sin sacrifice. And some look at that and say, I don't need it. What do you think God thinks of that? The one who loved his only begotten Son. What do you think God thinks of that when somebody rejects God's love offering of his only begotten Son? What would you think about it? For sin. For darkness. That's why they reject it. Because they love the pleasures of unrighteousness. For everyone, verse 20, that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen? All right, we'll go ahead and close there. And Lord willing, pick it up next Friday in our study. All right, Brother Henry, if you'd close us in prayer, please.